Calvin Coolidge served as President of the United States from 1923 to 1929. Coolidge, known as Silent Cal for his minimalist use of words, held that government, including the office of the president, should interfere as little as possible in the lives of its citizens. So it was really not out of character for Coolidge to pack up his belongings, gather his staff, and temporarily move the White House, and thus the center of American politics, to a fishing lodge on the remote Brule River, a few miles south of the small northern Wisconsin town of Brule in Douglas County, for the summer of 1928. The precedent for a summer White House had already been set by Coolidge the year before, when he and his wife Grace spent an entire month in the Black Hills of South Dakota, staying at the state game lodge there. It was from the Black Hills that he issued the famous statement, "I do not choose to run for president in 1928. Without the tedium of a campaign to worry about, Coolidge made plans to spend nearly the entire summer on the Brule, fishing, relaxing, and sometimes tending to the affairs of the United States. Coolidge would pass the summer in Northwood's comfort at Cedar Island, the very private estate of the late Henry Clay Pierce. He arrived at Brule in mid-June, accompanied by no less than 60 soldiers, 14 house servants, 10 Secret Service agents, and about 75 reporters. The arrival of the President of the United States and his entourage was the most exciting event to ever hit rural northwest Wisconsin. For weeks prior to Coolidge's arrival, local and state officials, businessmen, and the general citizenry scrambled to prepare for the president. As the Associated Press wrote at the time, "Well," said the citizens of Brule, all 200 of them, "we must dress the place up a bit." The dressing up included what the Associated Press described as wooden arches of native rough timber erected over the main road through town, for which citizens themselves had to chip in, since Brule had no local government. Outside of town, preparations were made as well, and in a big way. While Coolidge planned to spend most of the time at Cedar Island, he was still President of the United States and had the affairs of the country to manage. Superior Central High School, about 30 miles by road from Cedar Island, became a hub of activity as the location where Coolidge would conduct business, receive official guests, and communicate with Washington. The school library became Coolidge's personal office. The high school was transformed into a communications nerve center, albeit 1920s style. While Coolidge's decision not to run for re-election was national news, locally, the most talked about issue focused on Coolidge and his fishing intentions. As it still is today, trout fishing was serious business on Wisconsin's most famous of trout waters. Speculation about Silent Cal ran through Douglas County like wildfire. To quote press articles of the time, recollections of reports from the Black Hills of South Dakota last summer that Mr. Coolidge went for trout with worms as bait has aroused serious sporting misapprehensions in all devout anglers here. The press reminded folks that Henry Clay Pierce reportedly never allowed anyone ever to set foot on the estate who indulged in anything but fly fishing. Cal Coolidge was not known for his outdoor abilities, but Coolidge intended to take full advantage of the incredible fishing opportunities the Brule offered, and for this he needed a competent guide. John LaRocque, one of the most experienced and highly respected guides on the river, was recommended. Coolidge accepted the recommendation and hired LaRocque to be his primary guide for the summer, inadvertently thrusting the man into the limelight. As Albert Marshall, author of Brule Country, wrote, "John LaRocque, the Indian guide who filled most of the president's guiding assignment, became overnight the undisputed dean of the rivermen." LaRocque, confident, stalwart, photogenic, and like Coolidge, not one to waste words, was the perfect choice. Photos of the man, often referred to simply as Coolidge's guide, frequented local and state newspapers, and the press closely followed his activities. When LaRocque sprained his back while cranking an automobile, the newspapers ran the headline, "Guide Injured, President Tries Trap Shooting." LaRocque was paid $2 a day to guide the president, and the two spent a considerable amount of time together on the dark waters of the Brule, although probably most of it in peaceful silence. From the very first reports of Coolidge's fishing activity, the ever-important worm question was close at hand. Anxious to get some fishing in, Coolidge broke out his fishing pole within hours of his arrival at Cedar Island. It was reported that he had asked for worms. But several days later, reports began to surface seemingly designed to put this worm issue to bed. Perhaps after catching wind of the importance of Coolidge not to be perceived as a worm man, White House staff, or maybe the press itself, tamped down Coolidge's reputation as a bait fisherman with firm reports that the president was not using worms to catch trout on the Brule. The fishing community of Douglas County, and this comprises about 3/4 of the men, women, and children within its borders, heave a great sigh of relief today to discover that President Coolidge has maintained, inviolate, the immemorial tradition of the Brule River of never having any of its trout caught except by dry fly fishing. Coolidge clearly reveled in fishing the Brule, and he did so as often as possible. Some voiced concern that he was ignoring his presidential duties, infrequently venturing to his office in Superior. Paddling a canoe up the Brule River is more interesting to President Coolidge than the Democratic National Convention, which opened at Houston today, reported the Duluth Herald after Coolidge mostly ignored the event. The president departed northern Wisconsin on September 10th after a brief farewell address in Superior. There is little doubt that Coolidge was deeply touched by the magic of the Brule River during the summer of 1928, the summer when he learned to fly fish for trout and paddle a birch bark canoe. He told the crowd that he would like to come back to Cedar Island, but it never was to be. After his term expired, Coolidge largely withdrew from public life. He died of a massive heart attack at age 60 in January of 1933, a little over 4 years after that summer on the Brule. Perhaps some recollections of those carefree days spent on a river in Wisconsin were passing through Coolidge's mind when shortly before his death he remarked to a friend, "I feel I no longer fit in with these times." For WXPR, this is Bob Wilging with History Afield. Thank you.